What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your best friends, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
How you feeling, Greg?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You struggling?
We were all on the struggle bus today. Like, oh no! It was a good one. I powered up.
It was a great one because I had multiple people tweeted me, be like, "You might have went too far today, guys." And I'm like, "With what?
No."
And they were all talking about different things. I'm like, "That's how we know we're doing our job."
That you voice over there is Forbes 30 under 30, mm-hmm. AKA the second best baby blues in San Francisco, AKA the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let's hear most.
And rounding out the quartet of quandary. I was trying to come up with another one. It's not a keyword I could have had. The quartet
Quake
of
Tower?
Quantum.
Quantum of physics.
Okay, anyway.
The Apex Hispanic champion.
Oh, shit.
Is that what you want to be from?
Yeah, why not?
Have you won one yet?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Let me tell you.
The last Apex champion,
seven
Andy
wins,
Cortez.
Dude. Seven wins the last fucking stream. Tucker and Evan.
Are you doing, like, the Sancho West thing now, where you're putting up, like, the win?
No, I should do that. Yeah. But Tucker, the guy I was playing with, is the one who told me that he ran you through the Destiny raid.
Oh, yeah. Those are good guys. Yeah, those are good guys.
He's very, very talented, yeah. Oof, good wins, Nick. Where were you in?
Yeah, where were you at?
At that place you told me to go for your birthday party. That
No, we ended up not going there, dude.
I thought I texted you, but I guess you didn't get my text.
It was just a small group, dude.
It was Andy's birthday last weekend, and I love how in this office there was so much confusion on whether or not Andy was actually doing a party that some people weren't invited to.
No, not some people, just me. Just me. They wouldn't tell me whether or not they were doing anything for Andy's birthday party.
That's the thing that made it funny is that there was guests in the office. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Andrea. Like, there was people here, and they were now convinced that they also weren't invited to a thing that wasn't happening. And then we'd all be like, it's not real. It's not happening. And you just kept going with the joke, so it confused them even more.
Yeah.
And they're like, so am I not invited? It's like, oh, God damn it. Nick somehow makes this so bad.
That makes it even better that Andrea, because there's like a cliff that Andrea will go off of where she just will get so confused with what we're doing that she just gets mad at me. And that's when it's real fun. Yeah. That's when the joke
is
really
worth
it.
Well, you deserve it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I do.
Keep
you sharp.
I loved your birthday Twitter shout out me, which was like, hey, man, if you're hanging out, like, let me know. Like, it's whatever. And I was like, that's just a small group. We just got like 25 people hanging out with us.
We're not doing anything, man. It's just like a small group of us, 25 people. Or whatever.
Just keeping it casual.
Like, cool, yeah, I'm going to stay home, probably drink some Riesling, but I could come out too.
I was like, nah, I'll let you know, man. I'll hit you up if like we go somewhere else. Like,
cool, that's the thing about KFAF. It doesn't end when the cameras go. You know what I mean? It rolls on Twitter and Instagram and anywhere you clowns are talking to each other.
Actually starting to get a little surreal at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to feel like I don't know if Andy likes me or not.
I don't.
You know, or you can like me, whatever. Yeah. It's cool. Whatever.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kinda Funny Podcast. Each and every week, four best friends gather on this table, each bringing their lives to the table to talk to you about their lives at the table.
Yeah.
If you like that, go to patreon.com/kindafunny, where you can watch us record this show live. You can be part of the show. You can get it early, ad-free as a video and MP3. If you got no bucks to toss our way, though, no big deal. You can head over to youtube.com/kindafunny or podcast services that Friday and get the show new, free, chock full of fucking ads. And if you don't like it, suck it. You know what I mean? What do you?
Well, I thought you were doing around the globe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like
it. Wrong. Fucked
I
up.
I love it when you do that, man. God, it gets me going.
Does it?
Yeah.
Fucking rock hard. You know what I mean?
Table's
housekeeping
lifting.
For you. Don't forget the Kinda Funny World Tour rolls on. We just had an amazing time in San Francisco. I'm sure we're bound to talk about it today. But we're coming to Kansas City on March 30th, then New York on April 6th. Of course, from there, Vancouver, London.
That's it.
Got them all. Right, cool. Yeah. Get the full rundown at kindoffunny.com/events. I already said that. Then today, thank you to our Patreon producers from January. Stick with me. Drew, Ernie. You know he's coming.
Oh, no.
This motherfucker's coming. Karash Javazi. Yeah. James Davis. DJ Kento. Bert motherfucking Meg. Mark Greeman. Patrick Higgins. Gabe C. Pizza Burgers. Ramiro Gonzalez, Mike McLaughlin, Ty Moore, Willie Lopez, Ty Smith, Kieran O'Donnell, Dom, John Totlin, Sam David, Drew Garnier. Right? Because I said like Garnier Fructis.
Yeah, you did.
But is it like Garnier Fructis?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's just Gardener. It's just. Sound it out.
Parker, Luckenbach, Eric Metzung, and Devin Holbrook. I'll have you know, Bert Meg, because I haven't communicated with you at all since your name put me into hysterics for 2 hours last week. I woke up the next morning, and I'm in the shower, as I often am, going over every regret I have from the last 24 hours.
There's tons of them.
Lots of them. Lots of them.
3 hour shower.
And I was like, when I get to work, I need to go into the Patreon role. I need to find Burt Meg's email address and hit him up and just give him a heads up of like, it's nothing really about your name at all. It was just caught me off guard and I got the giggles and then it just became a thing, right? Did no such thing.
No.
So imagine you're Burt Meg. You're driving your Ford pickup F-150 through the back roads of Tennessee.
Is it a cab, extended cab?
Windows are down. You got your old bloodhound hanging out in the window. You're flapping in the wind. You're having a great time. You listen to our podcast. You got a straw hat on and a dirty wife beater. And you're just fucking having a great time. And then it's fucking your name. And I can't hold it together.
Yeah.
And I, why?
What do you think? Right. What
does he exactly think? Yeah. Is he? And that's the thing is like, I think if it would have happened once or twice, Bert Meg would have been like, ah, that's pretty funny. Greg's got the giggles. The fact that like 2 hours later, I was making callbacks to it and still in hysterics.
No, more important than that, the fact that a day later, when we did Fast and Furious in review, you randomly brought it up out of nowhere with no context, laughing at it to a thing that nobody had seen yet.
No. Besides
the people watching live.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, we're missing out right now if we don't make a Burt Meg t-shirt, all right?
Mm-hmm. For a second,
Andy, spitball me some Burt Meg ideas, all right? You know what I mean?
You started this whole thing off, and you started unzipping, like, you unzipped your hoodie, like, and I thought you had a Burt Meg t-shirt on. I was like, God, that is fucking, that's dedication. I think
we could just sell a shirt with Meg Turney's face and put Burt Meg, and it'll be all these worlds colliding. Will she allow us to do it, though?
Well, here's the issue, all right? Stick with me, all right? Take a picture of Meg Turney. All right.
Okay.
Dollar signs for pupils, right? And then her teeth make them say Bert. Like just weird white. You know what I mean? And then she'll be like, it'll look bad. And she'll be like, I don't even want to.
You just gave me the look of like, I don't like this.
I don't want it. She won't claim it. She won't have anything to do with it. You know what I mean? And then there you go.
This is your first full week in the studio of 2019.
That's correct. Yeah.
And you are already in such rare form.
Greg Miller kind of funny 4.0. People have been saying how great the shows are and everything else. We've just been great, and I feel great about it.
Oh, yeah.
Today, though, I'll tell you, somebody too big for their britches. Well, first off, before that, today we're brought to you by Hymns and Movement, but I'll tell you about that later. Instead, I'm going to start by telling you somebody too big for their britches. Kind of Funny Games Daily today, right? We're wrapping up the show. We've had a great one. Adam Bankhurst came and killed it. Kind of Funny Best Friend works at IGN now. And at the end, I bring this up. This is my first full week of 2019 in the office, and what a big deal this is. And I said, I'm excited to work with Barrett for our first full week together. Mm-hmm. And Barrett's like, well, because he always does that. Now he just yells in the back because he's learning from Kevin.
Yeah.
And I go, Barrett, let's get lunch. Let's get lunch this week, a one-on-one lunch. And he just goes, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was the least enthused he sounded about anything at this fucking place.
I'll be honest.
In the entire, maybe.
Barrett, leave the mic off, Kevin.
I don't think that Barrett.
Turn the mic off.
Barrett had approximately, I would say, like, this is a liberal thought. I would say he had 30 seconds of excitement to work here. And then it's just been malaise. It has been a general malaise since he got in. He's like, I really don't care about you people. No, not that. He's still doing his job. But like, when
is he still doing his job? Because he had one job.
Tweets are going
on. He had one fucking job on Internet Explorers.
Oh.
And no.
All you had to do, already started shitting the bed with his shirt.
Is wear Facebook algorithm shirts. When we were making the show, he's like, Tim, I have an idea for a bit. Every week, I'm going to wear my Facebook algorithm shirts. I have so many of them. It's been 6 weeks, and he's out.
Maybe today's Facebook algorithm shirt was hibiscus. They wanted just a floral pattern.
I like bought that next week's shirt already.
Oh, too fucking late. Too fast.
The show's canceled already.
Show's already done.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, get those shirts expensed.
We're canceling these things left and right, man. It's crazy.
It has to happen sometimes.
KFAF got canceled and then got brought back.
Well, Troy Nolan brought it back. And then you guys took it over again, as you do.
You know, they have better things to do.
Yeah.
Like their own.
Bunch of replays. Super successful, you know?
Yeah. Is it? What's funny is you said that, and I was like, I should go back and check if that's true or not. Didn't check. Don't care.
You don't need to.
I also told people to subscribe, and then immediately unsubscribe.
I like that. Yeah. I was in the room for that one. That was funny one. I enjoyed that one.
That was one where Nolan was like, maybe don't say that.
Fuck you,
good-looking, talented sons of bitches. If I can't be successful, I'll be vindictive.
Yeah. I forget. When we were starting the show, I said, what do we talk about then when I start the show? And then I started the show. But what did you want to talk about?
Oh, the meet and greet.
Yeah, what about it, though?
Just like how we had a good time.
No. There was definitely more.
He was going
to
say something.
I was going to say something specific about it, but I'm sure I'll get back around to it.
Those dogs at the bar?
No, those were cute dogs at the bar. Oh, yeah, I remember. So my favorite part of the meet and greet was out. It was a little hot in there. I went outside. Of course, fucking ice cold outside, but whatever. Hanging out outside. Like, not one, not two, but like five different people got fucking caught by the bartender. She was hot with them for drinking outside. And that was that became my favorite game of like seeing someone walk out with a beer.
And then I'm waiting.
Ticking clock. And then she was starting to get irate with those people. She said, you cannot go outside with beer. And I'm like, but it's cool. Like, it's nice.
Why do you have a porch? Why do you have a porch?
Patio.
You
know what I mean? She's like, it's just the sidewalk. You're just on the sidewalk.
It's so weird because this meet and greet, I felt, was in a smaller place than normal.
It's our San Francisco.
But it still felt so big because there were so, like, Joey saw me this morning. She was like, I don't know if I saw you all yesterday.
No.
And I felt like that with most of y'all, where I didn't really interact with any of you except for the photo.
Yeah,
that
that's the only time I saw you was when you came up to do the photo.
Yeah. But hey, I just showed up for that.
What I was going to tell you, if I could have talked to you yesterday, and I couldn't, of course, but I was going to tell you today, rings true today as well. Like, I'm glad to see you getting use out of this Arizona impulse buy hoodie. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's amazing. Thanks,
at first you didn't like it, and now you've come around that you like it, and it means
lots to me. Well, I think it's becoming the thing now where I just want to buy very sort of weird colors that I'm not used to.
I like that.
Did you buy anything at you should buy it every meet and greet. Like, buy something that you wear then throughout the rest of the shows. You know what I mean? You can buy, like, a Voodoo Brewery shirt yesterday.
To kind of put me in a certain place in time, you know what I mean? Like, Andy was wearing the green one. That was during the whatever.
There you go.
Got it. Yeah. Well, because I bought a blue one off of Amazon Essentials. Very cheap. Very cheap, but very quality, apparently.
Okay.
So I bought a blue one where it's just, you know, it's just a pullover. No zip. Because I kind of want to just do the no zip for a while.
Sure, man.
Yeah, man.
What do you got to prove?
I always hate the no zip, though, because then it's always a recipe for the hair. You're going to wrestle the hair.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're kind of committed to it. How can you tell? It's like that Portillo's one I have in there. Once I put that on, I'm committed.
Yeah.
Same thing now that I've started. This is a big moment for me, guys. I don't know. You've noticed. You've commented on it. Well, you've liked. You subscribed. You shared.
Tell me.
But me wearing like that King's Dominion shirt that I love so much from Deadly Class.
The sweater.
Like, right. I don't ever wear sweaters like that. You know what I mean? I feel like in the old days, I was a formless
just
blob.
Just like a sweatshirt.
Yeah, just a sweatshirt.
Oh, got it.
You know what I mean? No zips, no hood, no nothing.
Man, we should get you that Dallas Fuel one. The one that that they send me and Nick. The one that's like black and it has like the big flame, like super like kind of tacky, but it's great looking. And then it has, says Dallas down the sleeve. So
is there
cool,
one
dude.
For like a good city though?
I mean,
state? A better state.
There are other teams.
You're talking to the number one and number two fan of the Dallas Fuel. Right? Yeah, you better watch.
Name me two players. Name me two players on the Dallas Fuel right now, Nick.
Billy Joe Andrews and Sean William Sean.
Who Sean does William Billy Joe Sean. Andrews main in Overwatch?
He mains fucking robot guy.
Robot guy.
Susie Scissorhands is the
Susie
other.
Susie Scissorhands.
Damn,
that is a good.
Is this the first episode of nicknames or anything?
New season. We promise. It to you.
They won though last night. Dallas Fuel got their first win of the season.
They lost their first game.
They got rolled by the San Francisco Shock. It was very embarrassing.
Why don't we like the Shock?
Huh?
Why don't we like the Shock?
Well, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, so I just went with like the Dallas team.
But you live here now.
I think you're missing the point, Greg. Dallas Fuel sent us a lot of shirts.
Not me, apparently.
They sent me and Andy a whole like a line of apparel.
Mike
and
Buckin,
so we
where
are
you at, dog?
On board with the Fuel.
All right, here we go. All right, here we go. What league is this again?
Overwatch League.
Okay, just making sure.
Owl.
You know how it is.
Yeah.
Hey, other Owl teams that aren't the Dallas Fuel, I'm Greg Miller, and I have 1.3 Twitter million. Fuck, hold on.
Send him that. That's the guy you're getting in bed with.
Hey, Overwatch League people that aren't. Any other team in the Overwatch League, you send me a pair, I'll wear it. I'll be your fan. First person to send it. First
the
team.
Shock follows kind of funny Twitter.
Well, then I guess they better get on it when this clip gets broken out by Barrett.
But dude, you want to follow? I mean, Dallas Fuel, man. We're all in it together.
Do you want to fund? First off, we're all in it together. You say as you point to just Nick, and I'm here, and I was left out of it.
Tim's a huge Dallas Fuel fan.
Tim, come on, San Francisco Shock.
What are the colors?
Okay, San Francisco Shock is black and gray, or orange and gray.
Okay,
guess what Dallas Fuel is?
Is it black and blue?
Bunch of different blues.
Okay.
Light blue, dark blue, black.
Hold on! Don't sell out that quick. We can figure this out.
I mean, if you'll send me a shirt that's like a Steven Septic shirt, and I feel cool when I wear
Septic.
It.
Yeah, you look really cool when you wear it too.
I know.
You look great.
It made the closet.
Wow. Here we go. Go to
huge.
I'm here.
Huge.
There we go.
Okay, so we could also be in the Boston Uprising. They're blue.
That's dope.
The Dallas Blue is your blue.
But Boston is like blue and like a weird yellow.
Now the
not
Houston
cool.
Outlaws kind of look like fallopian tubes.
They do.
So we got. You want to bring this up, Kev?
We're going to send you a link.
I'm sending you a link right now so that this is...
This is my favorite episode so far. We're talking about
Kevin, tummy rub.
Why are you saying that?
I'll out. We'll save it.
Here we go.
Yeah, you guys are already Dallas Fuel.
Yeah.
And again,
I'm Fuel through and through, baby.
Tim, yeah. What I'm saying is
yeah. Burn blue.
Where
burn
do
blue.
We want to be with them? Period. You know what I mean?
I mean, I get that is an okay.
What's
okay.
this? What's but, this so, finger blasting one? I kind of think KFA. Oh,
give me a scroll down to the finger blast.
That's the Hangzhou Spark.
Oh, that's pretty great.
That is dope.
Their colors. Johnny Ace might think that might be the best.
Can you open that in a new tab, Kevin? Because you could see like the full. Colors. My favorite colors, the Hangzhou Spark, have a really great... What's up?
I'm with that.
No, it just loads real slow. Oh, unless it was like... Mine loaded real slow.
Oh,
just weird. Click on it. Just click on it and see what happens.
Oh, there we go.
See, I'm somewhere between the Charge and the Spark.
The Charge have a great color. It's sort of like the Aqua with different blues and stuff.
I like the simplicity of their logos, by the way. It's almost like they designed them to be on apparel.
Oh, yeah.
And I respect that. Like the Florida Mayhem, that's a dope logo.
I guess this isn't working. What the hell's going on?
The Spark is dead.
Can you go back? I want to see San Francisco.
San Francisco Shark. The Shock. Their logo looks like the SoundCloud logo.
Oh, my God. The Panda logo's dope.
Okay. The Los Angeles Valiant are pretty cool.
The San Francisco Shock's pretty sick, though. That's a dope logo.
Oh, it's the bridge, too?
So the bridge with the audio shit is pretty fucking
That's pretty fucking rad.
First off, Kevin, scroll up a little bit. Stop right there. No. Perfect, Kev, right there. If you're cheering for the Paris Eternal, get the fuck out of here.
Dude, Paris Eternal's really good this year.
I don't care about that. Look at this. Look at this hoity-toity fucking bird.
No, but
I'm better than you.
It's an infinity sign.
It's the infinity sign.
It's a cock.
It's clearly a chicken that thinks it's better than me.
It's a smart
fucking
logo.
Chest out, I'm better than you, walk on your fucking corpse cock.
That's what it is.
Vancouver Titans, they have something to prove. That's too aggressive a logo.
Yeah,
Washington
Justice
is pretty
I don't
good.
Like
Washington
the,
Justice is hot.
I love blue and green together. I don't like the blue and the green that they chose for Vancouver.
Mm. The Toronto Defiant's dope, too. That's a dope logo.
If they went with the neon green that the Seattle Seahawks use, like that super, it's called Action Green is the actual name of the color,
shit.
Then they should have done that. But scroll back up, Kevin.
I will say shout out to Washington Justice as a name.
Washington Justice
cool
is a name
shit.
Pretty dope.
To the Hangzhou Charge. If you can you open the Hangzhou Charge?
I mean, that didn't work last time, but I'll give it another shot.
There we go. Oh, so they open. See, look at their colors.
Oh, that's freaky.
Their colors are great. So I guess the Spark team is the page that's broken. So
now, see, here's what I'm looking at merch now. I'm over on sweatshirts, right? Spark, they just have the pink one on a gray sweatshirt. If you gave me a giant pink sweatshirt.
Open up the Fuel one, but look at the colors, Tim. Look at Dallas Fuel colors. Open up this bitch. I mean, look at that, dog.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm a bigger fan of the...
The hashtag is Burn Blue.
Hangzhou or whatever.
I'm telling you right now, dude.
Burn Blue.
I'm telling you, man. Fuel through and through.
Fuel through and through, dog.
Come on, doggy dog.
Give me fuel, give me fire. Page, Kev?
Give me that which I desire.
Exactly.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh, look at that. See, like, that Spark jersey. Kevin, scroll down.
Yeah, that's the Spark.
Keep going. That Spark jersey's hot.
That's hot.
That's fucking dope.
I just wish
I like this. Looking at them here.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about the Spark is that in real life, the pink isn't as neon as it gives off. The pink looks more like a baby shower.
No, I don't like that. This is kind of pink. The pink and blue I don't love.
Yeah, I don't love this either.
Those are our colors.
What's I know, that? But like that.
Those are our colors.
I mean, not together.
That's overbearing because that looks like breast cancer.
Oh, whoa.
Sure, now you got something. You're for breast cancer, Tim?
I'm going to say this. If you send me that hoodie
right
there.
Wait, hold on. Let Tim finish that statement. Wait a second. I want to see where he's going.
Look like a breast cancer ribbon.
What's the basketball team that has these colors? The Timberwolves?
The Mavericks? Dallas Mavericks?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Orange and gray for the Shock. I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that color combo.
The Spitfire. Go to the Spitfire, Kevin. London Spitfire have a great color scheme.
The fucking
it's a lot of blues of the orange. It's so
that's
tight.
Sick. That's kind of funny, Tim Blue.
Yeah, it
right
is.
There.
It really is.
Tim, you might have to
these
be a London
are some
fan.
Miami colors.
Hey, when we're in London, maybe we can catch a game.
Maybe.
I mean, they have all the games in LA, but
be cool if they were like
the Outlaws have a dope
be
basketball.
Cool. Cool if they were in London though, right? Because we're gonna go to London.
Let's see the Hangzhou Spark again, just because it looks so sexy.
The Valiant, that's a dope logo.
Oh, the Charge. Sorry,
they did
Charge.
All the logos for these. Do they have one league doing logos? Like, or they do their own logos? You think?
No, I'm pretty sure they.
I believe Susie Scissorfingers did them all.
Down, Kevin. The Charge. Yep. There we go.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Oh, all good. I just love.
Yeah.
The color of blues that they chose.
These are like that's the cool. Titans.
That's pretty.
Yeah, that's wow.
Yeah. Holy shit,
that was really good.
I've owned a lot of football jerseys.
Really
good.
So most of these teams are brand new this year. They only had, I believe, 8 teams last year. I don't know, but they added like 8 extra expansion teams.
The Hunters. That's so those are fucking rad names for teams.
A ton new teams this year.
Can you click on the Outlaws?
Yeah, the Outlaws colors look.
Outlaws is what I'm thinking right now.
Well, the Outlaws look like you're. I just clicked in on my own screen. It's right there. Go to the fallopian tubes on the left.
The two guns making the brown.
No, that's there you go. There you go. It looks like your Monster Energy drink.
That's fucking great. I love those colors though. You know why? Because it reminds me of Cole Trickle from Days of Thunder. That's what his car looked like. It was dope.
Hey man, but we burn blue here.
Burn blue.
Burn blue, dude.
Come on, blue through a drift.
It's the hottest fire, man.
Burn blue
hottest
through
fire.
Through.
Is the
well, they offer stance to anyone in the Overwatch League. The first team that sends me merch. XL. That's just who I'll cheer for.
The Valiant is a dope name for a team.
I don't like the Valiant's colors.
I don't like the colors. I like the logo. You know what I mean?
Really, the logo's sick because it looks like Hawkman, and I appreciate that.
I thought Thor, but yeah, you're right.
Like
Hawkman.
Thor. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Thor.
Little Ragnarok action.
Sure.
The Shanghai Dragons are really sad because they're looking to get the Shanghai Dragons did not win a match last year. Mm. They were like 0-36 or whatever. So they're hoping to win one this year.
Name like the Dragons. You know what I mean? It's like
they look pretty cool.
I'm joking.
But they're the only team that has a female player, which is really cool. So we're hoping to see her more this year because last year she was signed super late into the season. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, so everybody kind of like
what's the panda
roots
team?
For the Hunters? Dragons. Whenever they play,
I love that.
Everybody roots for the Dragons.
Soul Dynasty, that's fucking rad. Hey, that's a rad logo.
After you do the shock look through,
it's not the bridge. Look.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, it's like a shock wave.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, boo. That's better when it was the bridge. You could have done both.
Reminds me of SoundCloud a lot.
It does remind me of SoundCloud a lot. Nick.
Yeah.
How'd comedy go last night?
It went very well, and shout out to everyone that came out. I really appreciate that. We walked into the meet and greet. Me and Greg walked in at 3:00 on the dot because we're very punctual.
That's how we do it.
And I was like, there wasn't that many people there. I was maybe like 40 people. I was like, oh, cool. This is going to be real manageable. Like, I'll do a couple hours here. Maybe we'll get out early, and then I'll have some downtime before comedy. And then around 4:00, I turned around. The fucking place was packed. Mayhem.
Hundreds of people.
But I was like, oh, this is a double-edged sword for me because I was like, I'm going to be tired, but... What this means is that hopefully some of these people are going to grace us with their presence at the show. And everyone I talked to was like, I'm coming to the show tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I started worrying. Then I was like, oh shit, are we going to have too many people there? Are we going to have to turn people away? Because everyone has a guest list. And I didn't realize how they were setting this up. But I guess Cobbs is like, guest lists are like, you don't get preferential treatment. You're just, it's free ticket and you're the first person to get cut. And sure as shit, we sold that thing out, which is awesome. Because I think it's like a 400 seat venue.
Almost 400 motherfuckers were there last.
They had to. They were. And thanks for everyone for their patience because the venue was like. I don't think they were thinking we were gonna bring that kind of heat.
Well, traditionally, I've gone to your show there. It's Sunday. And Sundays are not that.
No,
not like that.
A couple things that were helping with this. One is holiday weekend, so I think more people came out because they don't have to work tomorrow. And two, I mean, everyone really. It was a comedy competition, so everyone kind of brought hard. It's a bringer show. But we were able to bring people from the meet and greet, which is great, and everyone had a great time. So sorry if you guys got turned away. That sucks. Personal apology to Joey because I know she was super bummed to not have to listen to me talk for another 3 hours.
She doesn't get it enough.
She doesn't get me enough. Yeah. Real talk, I came and I was like, were you bummed that you got turned away? She's like, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I went directly home and went to bed.
It's the Larry David thing of like, there's nothing better than having somebody cancel plans on you.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's just like, don't apologize. I'm thankful for this. Exactly. I get to sit home and watch TV.
But it was cool that, the venue had to scramble and they had to open up the balcony and they had to figure out some stuff. I think they were a bit understaffed and it took a while. I don't love when people have to wait that long for a comedy show because it was supposed to start at 8:00. And doors opened at 7:30, and we didn't start till 9:00.
They need to figure that shit out, because like
they just weren't ready.
They knew though, but like there was tickets sold, so they knew. You know what I mean?
I think they have their way of doing things, and I think they just got a little overwhelmed last night. And so I think by 9:00 they cut the line and said we're full, and we started the show. But I think it was a really great lineup.
Yeah, it was.
This was the first Cobb show that I did where. I was a bit nervous, but I wasn't as nervous because the first time I did it, I knew no one, so I was sitting in the green room by myself. Just like scared out of my wits and not having anyone to like shoot the shit with or like decompress with. This one I walked in and 90% of the lineup are my friends. People that I've either booked on shows or they've booked me on shows. And
some of them in the dock.
Some Austin's in the dock. Yeah. Jay was in the dock. And so these are people that like, I feel like are kind of my class of like the year of comedy, you know? It's like, I look at them as my contemporaries. They're on the same level. We're all booking the same level of shows together. And it was just really fun. It was awesome because everyone was, giving each other shit in the green room and obviously being there for each other and like trying to, you know, the competition really doesn't mean anything necessarily.
What is the competition? So for the somebody idea, who's watching and didn't
so
go.
It's put on by a promotion called There Goes the Neighborhood, and these guys do a ton of shows in and around like California, really. I think they do some shows in, like Philadelphia and some other places. They're a pretty big comedy promotion. A guy named Jimmy Earl. Shout out to Jimmy Earl. Everyone should go follow him on Instagram. But yeah, they put together really great shows. And this one, he wanted to kind of take up a notch. So he said, look, this is going to be a competition. And, you know, these are bringer shows. So he's like, part of the competition is going to be how many people you bring. And so I'm like, cool, I'm going to win. I'm like, because we're awesome and we're people, of course, all the best friends out there. The second they heard it was a competition, like, fuck yeah, I'm coming. Let's go. So I brought double the amount of people that I think I even needed to bring to win that portion of it. But then the other part of it was actually based on merit, how good your set is. So those are the two things that went into it. And if you win a headlining, you get to headline all weekend at a club in Reno. And unfortunately, I did not win. I know. But I did get second place. He said that everyone brought so many people. And since everyone sold out, he was like, I feel like I should reward all of you guys. So I'm going to do first, second, and third. And try to hook you guys, everyone else up with stuff because everyone brought a ton. But I got second place, which means that I get to actually go get a feature spot at the Punchline in Sacramento.
Oh, nice.
So that's
awesome.
Gonna be fun. Yeah. So I'll be able to feature there, which is like a 10 what to 15 minute long spot. Okay. There's a, yeah. So the way it is features are the ones that go on right before the headliner, and then the headliner usually gets the most amount of time.
Gotcha.
So if you go and see like a big show with like Bert Kreischer or Daniel Tosh, right? He'll usually bring a feature act, someone to warm up. Do like 10 minutes up top and then introduce him so he's not just coming out and like to a cold audience.
Where is Sacramento?
Sacramento is about 2 hours north from here.
North. Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So
I always thought it was south. Mm-hmm. San Jose south.
San Jose south.
Got it.
Sacramento, our state's capital.
I have a question too. For if you had won first place and that meant that you got a headline at the Reno place, that would be a 30-minute set?
I think I may have misspoke. I think it was a feature spot. I don't know if it would have been a headline. I think it was supposed to be a 20-minute spot.
And are you prepared for 20 minutes?
I would be. By that point, you'd have to
be. Would you be prepared for 30?
No. Okay. No, not right now. I mean,
so are you at? Like, if you had to describe where you're at.
If I had to do 30 minutes right now, I would do a solid 15 minutes of material and a nice Q&A afterward of 15 minutes. I'm like, let's open the mic up to some questions from these people. Just pull a Comic-Con panel at me. No, I'm not quite at 30 minutes yet. I could probably do 20 minutes of so-so material right now because 20 minutes is a long time to be on stage. It's nice though. Like last night, I think I was getting into a bit of a groove and then the light, and I was like, oh, okay. So 8 to 10 right now is a sweet spot for me.
You were awesome last night.
Thank you.
As somebody who's seen you do this a lot, like I've seen you do it a lot and I haven't seen you recently do it. You know what I mean? Like I think, RTX maybe was last time I saw you live.
Was it?
Yeah. And like it's, you know, night and day how far you've come. Because you were good then, but like the way it was so much more natural last night and the way you just rolled with everything.
My goal last night, because I was like, I don't care about winning the competition. Like, I'm just happy that everyone came out and had a good show. My goal last night, and unfortunately, the way it works is the more people you bring, the later down the lineup you go. And that's for a kind of a logistical reason of like, if I had brought 90 people and I went first, it's possible that 90 people would have immediately got up.
100%.
And so
even with two comedians after you, the final act was going long and I almost leaned over to Jen and I'm like, you want to just go?
I wouldn't have blamed you guys. I think the show was perfect, but I just think that hour long that we took to get people there was just unfortunate.
Yeah,
and that was nothing to do with the promoter. It was just getting people into the club. It was just the fear logistics of they weren't ready for 500 people to come in.
Yeah. No one bombed, which is great.
No one bombed. I thought it was a great lineup. I thought, I mean, being very 100% real, like I don't think I had the best set of the night. I think there was about 3 or 4 other comics that I think had stronger set. Nicole won. She was the first woman.
Black History Month one. That was great.
She came with just a ridiculous amount of energy.
That was awesome. I love that she did like the prop gag of like giving the notes to the one white guy up front. I'm like, here's a note, here's a piece of paper, and here's a pen. I'm teaching you about Black History. Take notes.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, she's really funny. She's a pretty veteran comedian in SF, and she was hilarious because she. After she got off, I was like, hey, that was a great set. And she's like, yeah, I just did most of that off the top of my. She's like, I just wanted to fuck around tonight and not do my normal stuff. So that was like not even her real material, which is great. And then Janesh got third place. So Janesh, I thought Janesh personally had the best set of the night.
It was so funny. He's the one who made the Seagulls joke.
In the Vin Diesel jacket, right?
Yeah, he was awesome.
I
was giving him so much shit. Me and Austin and Jay were giving him so much shit because we were all nervously like fucking with each other and like, getting out the nerves, and I look over and he's just on the back sofa, AirPods in, listening to Drake, and just getting his head on straight. And I'm like, who the fuck? I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
You listening to Drake right now? is it new Drake or old Drake? I was kidding with him. I was like, what are you listening to, a fucking old episode of Degrassi? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing back there? How far back with Drake are you going?
Good Lord.
But I love how Nick has his like little group outside of us. Like, just being like, Kevin, I'm just fucking around with Austin and so
on. Kevin
so.
Nailed like, it one time. Kevin like looked at me and he's like, you got a whole other life that I don't know about.
Man.
I'm like, right.
It's true.
I do a little bit.
It's weird.
But it's cool. You know, it's cool to see these. I'm living, obviously, a little vicariously through these guys, because a lot of them are younger than me and they're starting off and they're killing it. And it's just cool to see and be able to bring some audience to get them some exposure as well. And like, yeah, Janesh winning third is cool because he gets another set in Sacramento as well. So the hope is that we can both drive up there together, get the same weekend, and maybe even guest on each other's stuff.
Because
that'd be really fun.
It doesn't Jason work King. At all for you or yeah. your vibe, mm-hmm. but it would definitely work for a couple of different people out there that were really, really funny. People just have to lean into it and wear their Instagram, Twitter handles on their shirts. Because I'm so many people up there, I'm like, you're hilarious. I would love to follow you. And it's always like, all right, give it up for Joey. I'm like, who the fuck? What? I don't know how to fucking follow this person anymore.
Yeah, that's one of the hard parts is that, like, obviously, if people want to follow you for a stand-up, like, you have that small, brief window, or you have to remember to go back to the page afterward and look up their name and then Google them.
I've only done that 2 times. And it's Scarpino. Both been worth it. Like, the two people are hilarious that I saw. Both of them at Cobb's.
Mm-hmm. I saw there's two guys. I'm probably going to get one of their names wrong because it's either Eric or Brian, but I follow them on Instagram. I think it's Brian Simpson, I think is the name of a comic. And I saw him at Punchline and I literally got out. He was so fucking funny and probably easily one of the funniest human beings I've ever seen in real life. Like do stand up. He was so funny that I got my phone out and risked getting kicked out of the club to write his name down. And then I went afterward and was like, what's your name? Like, what are you on Instagram? I got to follow you because I actually legitimately want to go see him. It was him and Tom Rhodes. Tom Rhodes is one of the funniest comics I've ever seen live. He's a hardcore veteran of comedy, though.
Joey Noel, you're waiting in the wings. This usually means you have something to contribute. What's happening? Oh, what's going on?
I just heard that you got a set at Punchline Sacramento.
I did.
Which means, are we making this sleepover at my parents' house?
Yeah! That is a question for me, you, and Mrs. T.
I already texted my mom about it, and she just sent back the like.
Because the thing is this. Sacramento, not quite far enough away to warrant being able to have to stay over, unless you got a free spot where someone might make you cookies.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. So if everyone wants to get in the car.
Brownies.
And you guys don't have to y'all don't even have to go to the show. Sure. I know Tim will go. You go back to Mrs. T's house, start cooking, and I'll bring all the comics back and we'll party.
Perfect. Okay. We'll drop Andy off at the golf thing
top
that you
golf.
Like.
Oh, top golf. Woo! Yeah. Kevin, you want to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin can go.
I love the idea of a future where I have to drive to obscure cities in California and you guys come with me but you don't go to the show.
We all get out of the car and just scatter to the winds.
Yeah. Oh, it just cuts to Greg and he's at an Indian casino just betting big on blacks, smoking cigars and shit. Having a great time.
Man. It was great. I loved the turnout. I loved seeing Cobb's be that packed with our people, obviously.
That was really fun. And I look forward to doing it again. I look forward to maybe going a little higher in the lineup because that number 9 spot that I was at, which is really number 11, tends to be like, I get scared of that spot a lot because people, like, I've been in audiences where it's 2 hours in, or you've already been sitting for almost 3 hours, and that last comic hasn't, it's a little bit of an uphill battle.
Yeah.
So, especially when the place was that packed.
It was packed.
Like, it's never been that way. And it's like, usually people are just sitting at the tables. They're not sitting in the rows in between the tables because that's super uncomfortable. I got stuck so close to D. She was in front of me that I was straddling her.
Well,
and I'm like,
fine.
This is just
better you than me. she deserves it. She needs a little variety. God bless.
Yeah,
she stuck with me.
It was a great show. And I thought it was super awesome. I can't wait to see what this translates to, like, for more opportunities.
If nothing else, I got a great clip out of it. I feel like my set was, my thing is always like, I want to obviously have the best set, like, imaginable and possible. But I also just don't want to shit the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the thing I didn't realize, and thank God I didn't realize it, was when the lights turned on, every comic that I know in SF that wasn't, because Punchline was, it's a holiday weekend, which means that normally people would go to Punchline on Sundays, but usually when it's a holiday weekend, the club's so packed that you can't get in. So if you're a comic, you have to sit outside, which means that everyone goes, what else is going on in SF? And they all came over to Cobb's. So the lights turned on, and like every comic I know SF was there like, hey, good job.
That's
not like, and I can tell.
Yeah.
Everyone always says good set.
Yeah.
Like everyone's always very like, you're never going to tell someone you shit the bed, you bombed. Sometimes if someone bombs really hard, you just stay away from them. It's like a pitcher that's pitching a perfect game, but the opposite. but like, people are like, good set. And that's, I like that. You know, I was hoping to just make sure I kept the energy up for the headliner and didn't shit the bed. And I think I got some good laughs. Almost got an applause break, which is nice.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, it was just good.
That was great. I thought what you did very well was the crowd work stuff. And I feel like that's where your set focused last night, which you don't normally do too much of. But
no, but I'm trying to start my set with engagement, like engaging with the crowd, because I feel like I'll watch a lot of the other comics. And if they're not talking to the audience, especially if I'm going later in the lineup, I'll come out and immediately be like, no material, I'm talking to you right now. Like almost like a panel, wake people up a little bit and go like, at any point I might come to you, so pay the fuck attention. And then I'll go into my material and try to pop out and come back to those people that I talked to.
I thought you did great at that. And for everybody at home that's wondering when the documentary is finally going to be able to be seen, when?
They March it.
Oh. 20 seconds.
Yes. March 22nd.
Rooster Teeth first.
Yeah.
It's going to be
Rooster.com. There's going to be a free 30-day trial for RT first.
It's going to be great.
Able to sign up and watch.
Yeah, and if you're in Montana this weekend, we are doing a screening at the Big Sky Documentary Fest. You guys can get tickets there. I'll probably I think the Kind of Funny Twitter account's tweeting it out. I tweeted out already as well, so if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see it.
How excited are you to go to Montana?
Very.
Yeah? Have you ever been?
No. No, I have not. Somebody last night, I think it was DJ Kento, was like, have you been to Montana before? And I was like, no, but I know it's going to be cold. He goes, have you seen the movie Wind River? Where the guy like freezes to death at night? No. He's like, that's Montana. And I was like, oh shit.
Is that where the Red Rocks are?
I don't know.
That's Colorado.
No, it'd be Colorado.
The Red Rocks Theater, amphitheater or whatever?
Yeah.
It seems like it'd be there. Seems like it'd be there.
Evidently, it's like 2 degrees.
Yeah. For some reason. Yeah. But it's
no, I'm excited because I love small towns, and B, it's my first real time going to a film festival with a film. So that's cool.
What percentage of your material from back in the day are you still using? Like, have you, like,
one joke, my closer.
One joke,
which
okay.
is the Uber joke you can hear in the trailer for waiting for the punchline. Oh, and that, okay. even that, I'm trying to punch up a
have
little
you thought
bit.
About retooling any of the older ones?
Yeah.
Red Rock Canyon in Vegas.
But that's not what he's talking about.
What are you talking about?
The Red Rock Theater. It's like an outdoor theater that Incubus performed at with like this one of the Incubus' DVDs, and it's like the background is great.
Jefferson County, Colorado.
Got it.
Yeah. I go back every once in a while and try to retool the stuff, but my style's changing a little bit.
Right.
I'm getting a little bit more storytelling and a little less like set up punchline. And that was one of the things that's always hardest for me, because I'm like, when you go to a mic and you have a joke that's the actual like structured joke or a misdirection joke or something like that, that usually hits at mics. But when you're in front of real audiences, I think they respond differently. I think they respond a little bit more to like Janesh's style, which is a little bit more story. Like, just I'm going to just tell you some funny things right now that aren't necessarily 100% punchline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like his pigeon stuff and all that stuff is like, it's more just funny visual guy or like just creating that imagery in your brain. So
I mean, that's the thing. Like, he went off for about 3 minutes about seagulls just being pigeons with toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And it's like, that sentence alone is funny.
It's funny.
You know, and then it like goes back to what we were talking about. I forgot when, but it was just like, funny words are funny.
Yeah.
And like, putting them together, like that alone gives you bonus points.
And everyone has to have their style. And I'm trying to play around now with building a little bit of tension in some of the jokes. So I have jokes that, you know, like it's a safe bet that if you can get a punchline in every like Tony even says in the documentary, like 25 words or less of the punchline, then you're going to be good because you keep the energy going. But there are some people that'll just sit on a setup for a long time, and then it builds the tension of like, oh, this payoff better be fucking great. And then when it's great, you get a really big laugh out of it. And I have a couple jokes like that where it's like, I'm just going to set the story up. So I'm trying to screw around with that a little bit more too, and just have some fun. Because when you can get 10 to 15 minute sets in, the audience gets used to you, and they go, oh, we're going to go on the ride. This guy doesn't have to make me laugh every 5 seconds,
absolutely.
You know? But it's all a work in progress.
So then, now it's just the Nick Comedy Podcast.
That's fine.
When you're backstage, are you talking to people, or are you just strictly listening to who's up there right now?
Both. Janesh, actually, you know, if someone like Janesh and I have a really good, this is Janesh Rollin, by the way, if you guys want to follow him on Twitter, I think it's at Janesh Rollin. He's really, really funny. You know, he asked me, he's like, hey, you know, we have a very good back and forth, similar to like Tim. I'm like, hey, watch stuff. Like, I know Tim's going to watch and give me actual feedback. And like, it hurts, but I'm open to it. And so we do that for each other as well when Tim's not there. I'll be like, watch my set. Let me know what's up. Like, I forgot.
Otherwise, Tim comes in and cleans house on both of you.
He just houses us like a fucking box of Cheez-Its.
Yeah, I haven't seen you since RTX. But I feel like even at RTX, based on compared to the first time that I saw you, the first few times was very blah 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 blah. But anyway, like you were kind of doing the I'm a stand-up comedian thing.
Yeah.
And it's totally changed to the point where I was talking to somebody last night where I was like, man, I remember the first few times watching and thinking like, man, he's actually good. And then seeing you go up for a second set and having whole like much more material than you had prior. And it reminded me of when I would watch stand-up comedians, like I would watch Chappelle or even, you know, I hate to say now, but Louis C.K. or whatever. Sure. And you'd watch the old stuff.
Can't believe you'd watch him, monster.
I can't believe you didn't know that 10 years ago. you would watch the old material, and then they'd have another stand-up set with new jokes, and you're like, man, I guess the true mark of a good comedian to me is like when you're not using the same jokes, and if you're still using... If you use new material and it's still equally as funny, to me, that's like, man, he's just like thinking of more shit and it's still great somehow. It's not, you know, because I remember watching like back in the day, I was a Dane Cook fan.
Sure. Right?
And you would watch a stand up and one of them I'd really enjoyed. And the next one was like, oh, this one isn't as good.
Yeah.
I see. He caught lightning in a bottle with this one and this one isn't as good. And that's how I felt with you, the more recent times you went up, where it's like, this is new material that I've never heard, and it's still killing, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah. I think the cool thing is, having been to now probably all 50 of your fucking things, yeah. like seeing you grow over time, it's cool going from like having that anyway as like stand-up comedy feel to you're still not there yet, but I'm starting to see Nick Scarpino on stage. Like I'm starting to be like the guy that we know that like... can podcast and do all this stuff. It's like that's starting to come through a bit more with the setups and punchlines in between. And that's why the crowd work feels a lot more authentic.
Well, that's more me.
Yeah.
Like, so I opened my show last night with something I've never opened with, which is like the Tinder joke. I just came up with that walking up the stairs. I was like, oh, I should ask someone if they're on a Tinder date and just make, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that was a whole thing. And that led me into the marriage stuff. And so that's what I'm playing with is being able to have material to fall back on, but not necessarily need that, have that interchangeable with jumping out to the crowd if someone says something. It's harder at Cobb's, though, honestly, because like when it's punchline, you're talking about a room that's not very big. And if the front row, someone in the front row says something, someone in the back row can hear them.
Yeah.
And so if I ask you how long you've been married for and the guy goes 7 years, then that's, I don't have to repeat that over and over. 7 years, you know, I could just go straight into something that I want to talk to these people about. And it feels more like you're having a conversation, but with a 400 seat like theater, you're not the four rows behind him.
I mean,
we were
six rows behind, and like we couldn't.
Like I asked a woman last night. I was like, "How long have you been married for?" And she was like, "Let's see, 20 something." And she started to trail off, and she was 5 feet ahead of me.
Yeah,
it's just because the room just the audio just goes and dies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you have to, and that's something I'm still learning is like. You know, with Cobb's, the first time I did it, I reached out to Drucker. I was like, you've done Cobb's, right? Like, any, like, pointers or whatever? And he's like, well...
Don't do it! It's career suicide!
Like, stop doing comedy. You suck. No, he was really cool. And he was like, you know, you got to remember that you're... It's going to take an extra, like, millisecond for your jokes to hit the back row. So give them... You give your punchlines time to breathe. And so last night, the big thing I was trying to remember was, like, just listen to the silence for a second. Because after you say something, at punchline, it's immediate.
Mm-hmm.
But at Cobb's, it's... just a split second where you're like, did that just bump? And then the wave of laughter comes at you because it took a second to get to them, and then it comes back to you. So, and the laughter lasts a little bit longer, not because it's funnier, just because it occurs to people at different times that they should laugh. And so that was weird. And then also hearing sectors of people laugh was weird. That's a weird, like the right side was really lively.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the fuck was happening with the left side, but it was dead. They were just like, we are not having this at all. So it's just stuff that throws you off. But no, I mean, like, obviously, it's the same when you'll go to do panels, right? Like, I'm sure you get nervous when you do Hall H. But then you get up there and you're like, let's just have fun.
Sure.
You know, you've already done the prep. You can't really
do
any more than
that. 100% correct in, you know, the difference in a panel room, right? Where, for sure, when I do a panel and I host a panel, usually the first thing I do, traditionally, is come out and go, all right, everybody, yeah, I'm Greg or whatever. Who's been to a panel before? And if they raise their hand, I yell at them and say, oh, you know, put your hands down. This is, you know, the energy you give is the energy you'll get. You need to cheer. So when we say this, you do. And like when I came out to Hall H, like that shit, couldn't do it because it's so big.
Yeah.
And it was because people's natural inclination when they go to a panel is that they want to, and a comedy for that matter to an extent, is that they want to be supportive and hear what you're saying and not get in the way of the show.
Right.
And so that's the reason I think everybody usually is at a PAX or a Comic-Con, smaller rooms than a Hall H, even though it plays for Hollywood too, they want to sit there and be quiet and listen to the stars of the show or the game, blah, blah, blah. The problem is, what I've learned is working with video game developers versus actors, right, or somebody who's seasoned, I guess I should say even just novices doing panels, when they go up there and they don't get any reaction from the crowd because the crowd is listening intently, they think they're bombing, they start to panic, they speak quicker, they try to make more jokes, they do all the stuff that fucks with their head because they get lost in it trying to do their thing. When they, when somebody who's done it a million times understands it, that's why I come out and I try to psych them up. But yeah, when I went out and did Hall H, I wasn't nervous, but it was very much like a vacuum of sound because there's no way I'm going to be able to make some off the cuff joke to Marvel, you know, Bill about Marvel games and have it resonate in the last row at the same time when there's like 70,000 people in Hall H at Comic Con.
So you've done a million panels, hosted a million different types of things.
Sure have. Just did Dice Awards.
Which way? But you just did Dice Awards.
Yeah.
And that was less, that's not a panel. Like you were a host. Like,
sure.
When Bernie Burns hosted Kinda Funny Life 2,
yeah,
he refers to that as stand up comedy. Like he said that he prepped it in his mind as if he was doing it. He did the whole monologue in the beginning. And like,
yeah.
He really was like, this is going to be my shot at stand up. When you did this with Chobot, now 3 years in a row,
yep.
Drucker writes what's the process for that? Because it essentially is stand-up comedy that you're reading off a prompter.
Right. I mean,
did Drucker write this one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, so cool. I mean, when I got hired, they were like, do you know any comedians who would write? I'm like, Mike Drucker. We have to get Mike Drucker.
Yeah, Drucker's so perfect for that.
That's what's the best part about the Dice Awards.
Did he write the whole thing himself? Woods.
He brings in a guy named Chris Sturgeon.
Awesome.
And Chris Sturgeon's been there. Again, this is our team's third Dice Awards. And I think you see it if you were to compare them, all of it amp up on it, right? Dice Awards for me is the sequel / evolution of Up at Noon. Where when we first started doing Up at Noon, right, you remember they were never good. But like you remember how bad my original monologues were and joke deliveries were because it is such a different way. You watch Seth Meyers or Jimmy Fallon or whatever, anybody who wants to come out and do their opening monologue, and it is such a different setup and punchline and the way to speak and the way to do it that I struggled forever, I'd say the entire time with Up at Noon. And I got decent at the end probably with it of trying to figure out how to do it. But even the first Dice Awards, I feel like, that what you talking about, you know, you get nervous when you do a Hall H or something. I don't get nervous for panels anymore just because I've done them forever,
so
right?
So many times, yeah.
But Dice Awards year one was nerve-wracking. Not nerve-wracking, but it was. I had nerves, it's always that funny thing of like, oh, I haven't felt that in forever. Butterflies in my stomach, right? And because I remember like...
It's a little bit of a different thing for
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. That was the biggest thing. I remember at MomoCon 2014... Before we broke away, because I went to MomoCon once on my own and then brought everybody the next year, if we're kind of funny. MomoCon 2014, I went out there and did the Last of Us panel with Troy and Ashley. And right before we went on stage, Ashley was flipping out. And she was just like, are you not nervous? I'm like, no, like this doesn't do it for me. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, you're in TV shows and movies and video games? Like, this is the fun
you
part.
Remember
you just
shit.
Go out there and talk. Yeah. That's all you have to do.
Sure, like that PSX too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And but it's because you don't do it, right? And so, yeah, Dice Awards year one was like, oh, fuck. Like, I don't, because it was that last second thing of like, oh, man, we could be Mr. Caffeine. We could go out there and I totally fuck up a joke and it does become a meme and it does become this thing perpetuating, right? And so Dice Awards year one was awkward too of coming out there and not having that rapport yet with the audience. Like obviously a fair amount of people in the audience knew me, but a lot of people had no idea who the fuck I was. Game developers, heads down, doing their thing. Maybe they, you know, this is 2015, so it's right, like I understand it sounds crazy, but we were just breaking away from IGN, so for anybody who wasn't a PlayStation developer, they didn't know me super well. Like PlayStation people knew me from, you know, 8 years of covering them. But Dice Awards, yeah, year one was nerve-wracking, and it was, I'll never forget, coming off stage after the monologue and knowing I didn't get it. Knowing I didn't hit it. Yeah, really? Yeah. And it was like, it wasn't a swing and a miss. It wasn't bad, but it definitely, I flubbed a couple words or jested something, or, you know, it was like, I knew we didn't nail it. And then like I had, it's us. It's how we all are. Like I was writing to the Twitch chat to see what they were saying. And like, you know, and it's like, and it was like, yeah, like
cringe.
Like, not, well, it's our chat. Like our chat's not doing that. But I want the honest feedback at the time of where I was. And it was like, and because it was different than what I expected. Right, I am used to the panels where I am used to get the fuck up, what's up, and like come on, and be like, what's up, welcome to the Dice Awards 2015, and it's like, oh shit, fuck, yeah. You're not having a great time already, you know what I mean? Like,
I gotta earn this.
You're developers, you are even you're here for hoping you win an award or just getting drunk, and that's totally cool. Like, I get it, you know what I mean? And I think I was too buttoned up on that way. So year two was completely different. Yeah.
And for all 3 years, was it a teleprompter with the script that was written?
Yeah.
How much do you go off of that?
Oh, it all depends. You read the room and go from there. That's the one thing we got complimented on the most at year one, where it was like, oh man, I feel like it wasn't, we fucked it up, but I feel like we didn't get all of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it was a foul ball or, you know, base hit. It wasn't like a home run. And so, you like these sports analogies?
It's like a double into the right center.
It's like, sure. Yeah. Fuel, you know, exactly. It's like, what's that?
I tried to bunt, but yeah. no, but when we went upstairs, so many people complimented me and Jess on, hey, like, you know, that was really, it was good. And it was awesome when you guys went off book. Like, I looked at the monitor and saw that there was nothing in there and you guys were just fucking around. And so,
because this is the only time you've ever done that, right?
Outside Up at Noon, yeah.
Oh, the teleprompter is like on stage, like doing a teleprompter performance, because we did the Final Fantasy thing, but that was just straight up me and you, being me and you, you leading, me being the second monkey, just kind of like riffing, just doing what we do here. And then when we did the GameStop Expo thing for the manager,
same thing, that was just
the
same thing.
It was just me and you. Mm. We had bullet points, we knew them in our head, we knew how to get to the things we had to,
yeah.
But like,
and like Walking Dead, the thing, the Overkill thing that was like a produced project. Yeah, it's when I work, it's rare that I work with a prompter. So, it's, yeah,
and by the way, prompter work with jokes is harder
100%,
way harder. 100%. What I got to do last night was stuff that I have for all intents and purposes rehearsed 50 times before. And I mean, I still forgot a joke.
Yeah.
I walked off and I forgot what I think is my best joke, which I usually close with. But I there's a moment, if you go back and watch the footage, which we'll get eventually, where I look down and I'm like, oh no, I don't remember where to go next. Yeah, and then it popped into my brain. I'm like, let's talk shit about Backhead. I was like, all right, let's talk about Backhead.
Such a dick thing.
It's such a bad joke.
It's so good. So
I subbed in my worst joke possible, which has a 90% chance of alienating everyone in the audience.
You look to the bench and it's like just a bunch of sad people there. Like, oh, fuck.
Like I can't even find a bat.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you got to hit with your hand. I was like, oh, shit. Anyway,
so year one we got compliment on that, and it was Chris and Mike and me and Jess all learning to work together on that and how that should flow and, you know, all that different stuff.
When you're working together, is Mike with you?
No, never. He sucks. I was always, that's my whole thing with Drucker. I was always like, this is so great, we'll get to hang out at DICE every year. And every year he has a scheduling conflict. Mm. So what happens is,
I think he just doesn't want to leave his house.
Probably. In the weeks leading up to DICE, he starts a Google Doc and he'll start putting in, like, it's similar to Old Up at Noon, like three different versions, four different versions of the same joke, riffing on it, different punchlines and stuff like that. And so then Jess and I, and if the DICE people want to, go through and go, like this, don't like that. I will call jokes. Like, I want this joke and stuff like that. And then we'll get down to the end. And then Chris Sturgeon, who's also in the doc, obviously doing stuff, he's the one always on site. So he's there through rehearsals, because we rehearse it. This is our, you know, we booked out 2 hours to rehearse this time around, and we did it in an hour. We got up there and did like three or four run throughs. We're like, this feels great. And because again, we're just in that place now. Yeah. We know. But it is that thing of, oh, that's not working. Oh, can we rephrase this? And Chris is at his laptop ready to go do and put stuff out there. And so, yeah, it's been an evolution of figuring that out. And I think giving us more leeway than, of course, for me pulling it back, because I will just ad lib the entire time. Right. But like, you know, the ending of DICE this year, where I was up there talking about the vocal minority, that was all in the moment right there based on Corey's speech. We wanted to say thank you genuinely for, you know, getting to be the voice of the gamers all the time, because again, we are the only people up there that don't make games, and it's weird.
Yeah.
But it's also the idea that year two, I knew what the room was going to sound like, and I knew that what kind of energy I needed to bring to get the thing out of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was the same thing. It was funny. In year one, people were like, oh my God, no one is laughing. They're terrible. The room's terrible. And I was like, no, people are laughing. It's just not as loud as you hear. But they were quieter than, you know. Yeah, than. Year two, we had a really good one. People were still like, they're dead. Year three, this year, people were still on our subreddit like,
dude,
it was bad. And Greg was going to say it's the room. It's just how audio sounds. And
you like, got to get them to mic it. Like,
it is mic'd. It's the thing. Is
they
like,
got to mic it better. Like,
then you start getting, you're going to get Sean Layden talking shit to people.
That's... Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
The thing about
that would be feedback I would give them, because it totally changes the
read of how it is.
To, or else don't stream it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's like, if you're gonna stream it,
feedback.
You need to hear that, or else it makes you guys look bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. In knowing what the room was after year one, year two was so much better. We knew what we were doing. Year three, I think, was just it being perfected in terms of our performance and working with everybody in the crew. Mm-hmm. And then also the audience knowing what they were getting. Because it's every year at DICE, I hear a horror story about years past hosts of like how they didn't know what they were talking about, or this, that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we're not that, obviously. We're engaged. We know it. Like, the jokes, I think, make more sense coming from us because you realize, oh, well, Jess is doing Nerdist News. I'm doing Games Daily or everything else and being a pundit to it, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Great fucking jokes.
Drucker killed it, dude.
I can't. I just respect Drucker so much because I know, like, his. I know the persona of who he is, and also much of who he actually is like self-conscious, anxiety-filled human that, you know, can't stand human interaction. But to have the confidence, like, I mean, for any writer, really, but just like the confidence of like, oh, I'm making a Google Doc. These are all things that I think people are going to laugh at.
Yeah.
Like, I think that still takes like so much guts to want to be a writer for a living. Like, it's just, I feel like. That's why I have so much hesitation doing anything because I feel like I would never want to force comedy or force a joke that I don't think is there. And for them to just be like, no, this is going to kill. Like, just that's so crazy to me.
And that's the thing about it is like, you know, both Mike and Chris have like no ego about them. So when we do come in like, this isn't funny or we want to change this or well, they're like, oh, yeah, sure. No problem. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I've never had them fight for a joke in terms of like we didn't like it, but they're like, no, no, you need to do it. And then granted, I think part of that is too that we believe in them so much. Right. Yeah. They cut a joke. For me this year, I ad-libbed one during rehearsals, and we're like, that's perfect, let's use it. And then Mike wasn't in the room, so when it got back to Mike on email, he's like, you can do this joke, and it is understandably hilarious. Understand people will misinterpret it and turn it around on you. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Like, it's not worth it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Fuck it. It doesn't not need a hill. Thing.
No,
do you want to hear it, though?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Because, again, everybody knows me. This is our audience. This is a completely different
thing.
You're
talking to a guy who's literally... I'm always the one of us that has a match over a fucking pile of gasoline.
This isn't
I'm always like, let's go. Let's go drive it today.
Literally, this would be the most clickbaity headline switch, but somebody could have done it. Or... not even clickbaity. Someone could have totally misinterpreted it, especially if you're... I'm watching the Dice Awards. I have no idea who Greg Miller is. I don't know what his personality is. I don't know what he stands for, right? So...
the guy who like tells people like we're gonna kidnap your children. Remember that
one time.
The Grabbler isn't a kidnapper, but he's not a bucket.
Right, that's all right,
Stogie. Yeah, Stogie. So well, the joke goes here in the show, and you can go watch it because there's other stuff there. Rehearsal one, it's the Fortnite joke that leads into the Fire Festival reference, right? Where it's like, oh, Fortnite this and it's the one better than Fire Festival, ha 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 ha. And then it was into God of War stuff from me. That Jess did the Fortnite stuff into God of War stuff for me, and in rehearsal. Jess, and you're talking about like how much is ad-libbed, right? Like during rehearsals, Jess and I will just riff off of whatever we want to and see if it works and keep going. And so there we did a riff and it was me talking about Ja Rule, which actually ends up what we still do there, but it's way shorter. But we had a really funny conversation about Ja Rule where she's like, I feel like he got a raw end of the knee. I'm like, did you see both documentaries? He's arguing again. Like we had a real conversation and everybody's like, that was great. And then rehearsal two, we tried to do it again. It was like, oh, didn't work again and we're not going to script this. So like whatever. And so it became... well, we like there being some kind of bridge there and some kind of joke before it just not awkward, but it turns back over to Greg. And so we all sat there like, what Fire Festival joke could we make to end cap that to then or that I could make then move over? And so we're all sitting around. And finally it dawned on me and I'm like, I fucking got it. And they're like, what is it? And I'm like, you've seen the documentaries? I'm like, yeah, of course. And I'm going, so it's Jess and it's Fortnite. Lisa went better than Fire Festival. Ha ha ha. And I go, and speaking of, please tell me everyone is enjoying the water. I worked really, really hard for it.
That is
awesome.
But oh my God. Very specific.
Exactly. And that was
but
the
if
thing.
You get it? Yeah, get
and
it.
And that's where we all have this conversation of like, oh my God, that's in the somebody's like, I don't get it. It's like you had to watch the documentary. It would make and it was like one of those things
that's
like
that's a great joke.
We were gonna do it and I was gonna hold
that's a great joke.
And then get the whole like from some people and other people not getting it.
I would punch it up like I sacracificed a lot.
Funny. Please tell me you're enjoying the water. I worked really, really hard for it, right? And let that go and blah, blah, blah. And everyone in the room thought it was hilarious. We all thought it was great. And then, yeah. So then I got an email back in my hotel room, though, from Chris. And he's like, hey, push it up to Mike. And Mike, again, everyone thinks it's hilarious. We can do it if you want to. But someone is going to push back and think that you're making fun of gay people. Yeah. Like that's how it's gonna get boiled down to. And I'm like, well, no, I'm saying I suck dick for the water. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it's totally not. But I was like,
I mean, I can understand that. But that to me is about three jump the conclusions removed.
Of course,
and
I guess
Mike's job is to absolutely make sure you're having the most entertaining show and not offending people. Obviously, because obviously, and this is what I always say, right? The job of the comedian is always to entertain and not to offend. The intent is never to offend.
Right.
If you're making a joke, it's always with the best intention of like, well, we're making fun of something. We're just having fun.
Well, and I think the other thing about it and what resonates well is, again, you don't know me fine, but also, you know, not to offend. a lot of our jokes about the video game industry this year were biting as fuck and really and
offensive
hard.
To developers, for sure.
In the fucking room. But again, you come in with the understanding of what that is. And what the, yep. It's like the White House Correspondents' Dinner, right? Mm-hmm. Before the president stopped going because he's a coward. It's yeah. like, you know, hey, let's go in there and have this thing.
It's a roast.
You know, exactly.
It's a roast.
100%. And so it was a weird left field turn of...
Want to know a secret?
You a bitch.
out of the blue, it was a weird thing to then take a swing at this guy in Fyre Festival. And I don't get me wrong. I'm obviously telling you the joke. I'm not offended and everybody gets it.
Yeah.
It's just the idea of, yeah, I didn't want to... My main thing was... It wasn't Kind of Funny Live. It wasn't Kind of Funny, period. So it's like, I don't feel like for the Dice Awards ruining the night for some people, the Dice people, right? Of like, that's going to be something people talk about. Because it would be not a dog pile, but it would get circulated real quick if it went the wrong way.
Absolutely.
If somebody did misinterpret it and want to try to make it into a mean thing.
I think you made the right
call.
Maybe.
I mean, I would say, yeah, I would agree with Tim. You made the right call just because it's so far off the basis of what the night's jokes were supposed to be about. Yeah. That it's it's also not a joke that a lot of people are going to get. Yeah. There's going to be five people in the audience that go, oh, That's not a joke that gets a laugh. That's a joke that gets a oh.
In a similar vein, though, we cut a joke about Diablo Immobile because it was like the day after all these layoffs at Activision Blizzard. That was such a serious thing that we were like, cut off any references to it in there. Activision Blizzard. Like,
yeah,
we don't need to kick them while they're down right now, and not them as much as you know their staff and people and like
looking for jobs.
Exactly right. Yeah, there was no reason to go into it.
That's respectable.
Tell Nick your E3 joke because it was funny.
Oh, I put it on. You follow me on Twitter? It's on Twitter.
I do.
This was my thing. Again,
I spend a lot of time on Twitter trying to convince Andy to invite me to parties, though.
Kevin, do me a solid. Actually, go to my Twitter and find the video there because this is something I want to actually call into the conversation we're having. It'll work for audio listeners, too.
Okay, give me 1 second.
No problem. And you're going to have to dial back a bit. It's my favorite joke. It would have been the day after Dice. So Friday,
so
I think I put it up.
800 tweets.
Exactly. Ago. Sorry, everybody. I tweet a lot. But to get us there, to bridge the conversation. For what I, you know, year one, I didn't feel like we hit it. Year two, I thought we fucking got it. And this year, it was like such a grand slam. And I feel this joke is the best example of it because of my delivery of it, right? Like, you guys know me. Obviously, the audience knows me. I tend to speak very quickly. And it's because I'm making my point and I'm spreading my wheels and I know where I'm going. But I have heard since Podcast Beyond episode one, slow the fuck down, dude. Like, I can't keep up with you. Yada, yada, yada. This is one where I felt like my pacing was on point. There it is. Or that's actually one more down, Kev. Sorry, I stopped you too early. That's one more video down. Keep scrolling down. You were perfect. I stopped you. There it is. My pacing on this one, I thought, was so good in terms of I delivered clearly. I held at the right times. I expressed right. Not only that, I feel like, you know, you talk about like the camera or the audio, right? Mic the audience and stuff. I thought I played to the cameras really well here because that obviously, again, teleprompter up at noon would have been dead set. I don't want to fucking miss anything. Whereas here I'm loose and there's a few rehearsals. So I get to spin my head and talk.
Yeah.
All right, Kev, can you show them and play it? Super Smash Brothers Ultimate is nominated tonight for Fighting Game of the Year.
They bragged about including every character in the series. Ever, with the slogan, everyone is here.
Unlike this year's E3, where the slogan is, nobody's coming.
That's...
Good night.
It's gold.
Enjoy your awards. See, like, even that, like, our reaction to their reaction gets a better reaction. And again, in the room, it's so much louder than it was there. Yeah, I totally feel you understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
But I was very proud of my delivery there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's how I think it worked so well this year, is that it was... Amazing writing as always, just being amazing as always, me actually delivering on everything and having a really good time.
Just out of curiosity, how are our E3 applications going? Those still stalled out? Still stalled
out? Who knows what's happening? They rejected us last year without the joke, so we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Not doing us any favors.
You know what? On that note, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. First, we're talking about Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by the age 35. And the thing is, once you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than try to get back what you've lost. That's why you should be like Nick and Andy and go to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. These are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. Andy and Nick did it. They went online, talked to a doctor, and sent in some photos, and they got matched with prescriptions to help fight their thinning hair. Order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today right now while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/kinda. That's 4hims, F-O-R-H-M-I-H-I-M-S .com/kinda.
My goatee's looking better and better every day. No, but on the real, me and Nick discovered something really, really dumb about ourselves.
We can't follow directions.
They send us vitamins, right? So every year, every day I take the pill. What I forgot the
finasteride.
Yeah. I take the pill every day, and it's definitely keeping what hair that I have, and it's doing great. I really, really enjoy it. But the vitamins, only been eating one a day. Suddenly, I have like three bottles, and I'm like, where did all of these vitamins come from? And I check the thing. It's like, take two a day. I was like, oh my God. So I have an extra bottle that I gave to Nick.
Yeah.
I brought some into work, and they're delicious. There's a new flavor now.
Now you're just putting them into cookie dough.
They're great. Yeah, I love it.
Our next sponsor is Movement. There's no one who disrupts the status quo and looks good doing it, quite like the team over at Movement Watches. Movement Watches, sunglasses, and accessories are designed in LA, and the styles are super sleek, clean, and fashion forward. Mm-hmm. Their startup team has made Movement the fastest growing watch company in the world, and tons of people are wearing their products, including us, for good reason. Why do we love them, Tim?
Because they look good, there's style minimalism, and quality construction. They have new styles all the time on their websites. I know this copy very, very well.
Now, but also,
Gia, she loves the watches. Cool Greg wears this watch all the time. Gia wears the sunglasses exclusively.
I wear the sunglasses exclusively.
They're our party sunglasses.
Yeah. When I really want to look good. Not when I'm doing wrestling stuff where I don't mind breaking them. Because
we're going down to like beautiful San Diego, sunny San Diego.
Exactly.
Anywhere with sun.
Exactly.
Like San Diego.
As much as we love our screens, the fact is they're draining on your eyes. So check out Movement's Everscroll glasses that protect your eyes from harmful blue light so you can keep on gaming. You'll also look great doing it.
They have those. Didn't know that.
Their Everscroll lenses come in a ton of different frames and styles, so there's a fit for everyone. Movement watches start at just $95. You're looking at $400 to $500 for the same quality brands from some other people. Don't do that. Don't do that. Get the $95 ones. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com/kinda. Movement's launching new styles on their site all the time. Mm-hmm. Check out the latest at movement.com/kinda. That's MVMT.com/kinda. Join the movement.
Greg Miller.
Sorry.
What?
I saw you do this and I went, I was like, all right. Dang it. That's not how we're supposed to do ads.
I have a cheat code for all of you guys at this table.
Here we go.
I feel like you'd be the least interested in this, but who knows?
It's possible that I'm staring at you and not paying attention. I got a great date night.
For y'all, motherfuckers.
Okay.
For a little special someone.
Yeah.
It's called The Story of Ramen. All right. My friend Alex Salamita recommended this to me, and he's like, hey, you should take Gia to this thing. It's going to be awesome. She's going to like it. Our fourth anniversary. I'm like, let's just do it. She got super excited. What it is, it's a ramen shop that you go to. They do this whole history lesson about ramen, like where ramen came from, which is
Japan.
China.
Fuck me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
So if you guys go, you can like be a little teacher's pet.
And oh, yeah. Tell me all the answers.
Yeah, exactly.
How many noodles are in a bowl of ramen?
I just want to impress the hell out of them.
They go through this whole history thing, and then you actually make the ramen yourself.
Yeah.
They teach you how to make it. They teach you the differences between the types of noodles and all that stuff. Yes. Then you get to eat it. And it was cool. It was a fun little experience. 2 hours in and out.
How was the ramen?
Mine was not that great.
Is it because of you?
That's because of me.
Okay. What did you do wrong?
Down to San Francisco somewhere.
Okay.
Mission, yeah. 24th and Mission. But it was super cool. Gia's was way better than mine.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you actually make the noodles and like you put it through the little machine and like cuts them out. You make the noodles from, like it starts with just flour.
Yeah. You put an egg in there?
Yeah. No egg. There's a whole bunch of different things that make ramen noodles special. I'm not going to give away all the secrets.
Yeah, don't give away the secrets.
Sure. The Story of Ramen. Come see it.
It was a cool experience where I was just like, I'm not a chef.
I'm not a cook by any means. Same here. I'm just a cook.
But it was super straightforward and simple. And like, it was a perfect date night. So great. You can buy a bottle of wine there.
Oh.
It was overpriced.
Sure, of course.
We did it anyway.
Yeah.
Sure, naturally.
It's your fourth anniversary. Live it up. You know what I mean?
But yeah, it starts as just ramen. And then you put a little bit of water in it. And there's this like special type of oil. You put it in. And then you start like, you mix it all up. And it just gets so sticky so quickly. And I was like, this is insane. You have to put it through the machine like 10 times.
Yeah.
And eventually it is like hard to rip. And I was like, how the hell did this happen? And that's the secret of
how does this digest in my
gluten. Yeah, and that's the thing. I was like, this is weird that I'm about to put this in my body. Yeah. And then I did.
But see, that's the thing. It's like, it sounds great. I'm definitely going to do it. That sounds like right up Jen and I's alley. But whenever I make pasta with Jen, because this is not something I ever would have done before her, right? Because it's right there for 95 cents in the grocery store. Yeah, done. Easy. If I want to get fancy in the refrigerated section, they have the fresh one.
I grew up Italian. I've been Italian my whole life. Never once seen anyone make pasta in my household.
Jen wants to make it all, not all the time, but when she wants pasta, we make the pasta most of the time. And it's just what a load of fucking bullshit. It's so much work. Oh, yeah. All not the folding, it. All the sticky, all the there's flour everywhere. She's got like we're moving in separate tables to put things through. Mm-mm. No, thank you. I don't want
rent
this at
a
all.
New apartment
get
for
some
another room.
Fucking yeah. Progresso pasta.
Exactly.
Just throwing the
Bertoli
thing.
Or whatever. Yeah, that's what it that's is. The thing is like the classic Greg and Jen story is like when we first started dating, she was like, "All right, I want to make a gnocchi tonight." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And like it was like one of those
gnocchi.
You know, gnocchi, yeah. Gnocchi.
Yeah.
And I say it.
Gnocchi!
Gnocchi.
Right? It's like an Enya, right? On the beginning, kind of?
Similar, yeah.
You got a G and an N right there, gnocchi.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was like, okay. She's like, do you want to make gnocchi? And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'm fun. We're dating. This is cool.
Fun,
whatever. Yeah, sure. And she's like, it's going to take a long time. I'm like, you know, how long could it take? Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? In 45 minutes in, we've gone in the beginning, I started doing it when you roll them in your hand, I would go, gnocchi. And it was very funny. And I kept doing that over and over again, right? And then 45 minutes later, I was not saying gnocchi anymore when I was done. But it was finally fucking done.
Mm-hmm.
And we had him there, and I was like, oh, thank God.
Eat him in
and,
5 seconds.
And Jen's like, all right, cool. Now onto the second batch. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Kill me now.
And she removed she's like, here's the other half of the dough. And so it was another 45 minutes of rolling these fucking things. My hands are all dry and like gnocchi. This. It's like, yeah, no.
No yeah. Thanks, Ki.
Nope, Ki. Yeah, you know what I mean?
No,
and then
fuck
we had
yourself.
Them and they were good,
no
but like,
way,
come on, man.
No, fuck yourself.
Come on, it took forever, too. So that's the key thing there is they kind of do it like a cooking show where it's like, it would actually take like 12 hours to do it right.
But then they bust out the array.
They bust stuff out and they're like, pretend you did this. Or like, there's certain steps that they skip over for like it to be a fun experience for people that don't give a shit. But they do have extended long classes if you
want
to do the advanced.
I don't want that.
Cut it with your hands yourself, like type shit. Nah, put it through a machine.
That's why I went to Marufuku Ramen this weekend for my birthday. And it was the best.
It was a good party.
That's a great party. Yeah. A lot of people there.
Yeah,
a lot of people
there. Well, I mean, you know, just the right amount.
Right amount, yeah. Small
25.
Small casual group. Kevin enjoyed it for sure.
I had a great time.
What I love, so the thing that I hate about it, obviously it takes forever to get seated.
Yeah.
But you do the Yelp app thing.
Yeah. Then you go to the bookstore.
Yeah, oh yeah. You go to Kinokuya. Oh no. Kinokuya. I forgot.
I just called the bookstore though. I just called the
Kinokuniya. Kinokuniya. That's
Nino
what it's called.
Too.
They have the manga store downstairs. Great. It's awesome. And again, it takes forever, but then once you're seated, the food comes out in like maybe 8 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the best. It's one of my favorite restaurants. Kevin doesn't like it. He thinks it's overrated, but Kevin, you're allowed to be wrong on this one.
I just don't like the size of the noodles, and that ruins it for me, unfortunately.
And I feel differently from there's that other really popular ramen spot, the one that has the Michelin star, the one near O'Farrell downtown. It is...
I don't know it, Andy.
I forgot what it's called, but it has a Michelin star. It's like the thing that they always show off about. It at one point was the number one Yelp-reviewed ramen place. Marufuku overtook it.
This good reason.
The broth at that one place I don't really enjoy, but everything here at Marufuku is like, I think they do everything perfectly, dude. You get the extra noodles, way too full afterwards, to the point where I was like, let's just walk around a little bit. And then like we walked to the place, I was like, let's keep walking around because I don't want to get into a moving car right now and sitting down. Like I want to keep the movement going.
It's like swashing
movement watches. Stomach. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Marufuku is just hands down my favorite ramen spot ever. Love it.
Ramen's great.
Mm-hmm. Ramen is great.
You know what I mean?
Spectacular.
I'm a ramen fan.
No, you're not. You're a liar.
I just don't eat it. I have been eating a lot of carbs lately, though.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
Yeah, man.
Get off
it.
You know what I mean?
A beautiful world.
This Wednesday, it's going to be wild.
What's this Wednesday?
KFAF.
Oh, right. We're
carb
doing
day?
Some fun. Well, Andy likes to make me do two things during KFAF that I've noticed. A little striking trend here. He likes to blindfold me.
You're not going
to
be blindfolded.
And he likes to feed me carbohydrates.
Gotcha.
In the form of sugar and processed flour.
Tell me what it is. Give me the tease. What is he going to do?
We're gonna,
when people live, won't spoil it for me.
He's going to be ranking all the Flamin' Hot snacks.
Ah! It's going to be a Flamin' Hot episode.
So,
how is he cleansing his palate between them?
That's a good question. But I'm
going to go up and up.
I'm also bringing in tangential snacks as well. So, Takis. I'm bringing in Turbo Flamas.
Hachitos
and Takis.
Can I ask you a question? Will there be some sort of twist? Will there be twists? Those Frito twists I've been seeing all over the cool kids are eating now?
No. So Frito twists, the only flavor they come in is honey barbecue. Turbo Flamas. My mouth's getting watery thinking about it. Turbo Flamas are the ones that are exactly like a turbo, a Fritos twist.
Okay.
It's a corn chip in a twist.
Hearing Andy say words.
And when you crunch it. And it's the one that I talked about before. When you crunch into it, there are several layers. It's like crunching down. It's like watching a building implode and come down. Oh, like there's several like levels. It's
that's
great.
That's just a positive image right there. So,
you can hear a scream from a very small person in the center.
It's like it tastes like the ruination of multiple family lives.
No, but the thing about it is it's I'm wondering if we should grade on like spiciness, flavor, and texture.
Mm. I'd like there to be more of a point scale. Okay. Than the prior times that I've had before.
We should go for the Nick Scarfino patented 3-point scale.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down for that.
So we have new additions. Doritos Flamin' Hot, brand new.
Oh, wow.
You never tried
that's
those.
Fucking hot off the presses.
They're really good. Oh, my God. They're very, very good. Now, apparently, so Cheetos, during the Super Bowl, released a commercial where they were like, yo, Doritos, you're releasing Flamin' Hot Doritos. What the fuck? Like, and Chester Cheeto dropped the rap. Have you seen this? He like wrapped. No. He wrapped in a commercial Chester Cheeto, and he was like,
"Can we see this?"
He was like, "We're bringing back Asteroids," which is like back in the day they had Flamin' Hot Puffs, but the balls, the cheese puffs, but they were called Asteroids because they're hot, and apparently they're bringing those back.
Damn!
But it's like at this point I can't wait any longer.
Dude,
like, we need
I'm gonna
to
tell
episode.
You about this. Right
can
now.
We watch the Chester Cheeto ramp?
Can you bring it up, Kevin?
They'll claim the video, right? Whatever, take it.
We'll figure it out. Here's the thing: I don't like this. Because I love Doritos and I love Cheetos and I don't like the fucking idea
Doritos
that they're fighting.
It's a weird rivalry.
It's right? weird.
But I feel like it's like a friendly rivalry.
Well,
like
here's where I'm at. Here's why I don't like
Chester Cheeto did not seem happy in
this. Obviously, five, 6 years ago, Doritos reached out to me and said, Nick, you should try to win the Super Bowl commercial.
They did.
And
they
I did three amazing Super Bowl commercials on my own private channel and they have blown the fuck up.
I am so excited for
let's
this.
Let's watch this. We watch this.
Are we watching this now or post
show?
Right no, now, no, right yeah, now. Let's do it now. Give everybody, give every, yeah, maybe.
It's
who cares?
48 seconds.
We're not
going to
get Mr. Bucket
it
right.
If Chester Cheetah, exactly.
Cheetos are cool.
If he fucking makes a move on us, I diss rap back at him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to fucking pee all over Cheetos if they
Jesus,
do this.
Don't lie.
Just put up because if they fuck with us, you fuck with them, Kevin. Fire with fire.
It's a great point.
Flaming hot with flaming hot.
All right, you turds. Here we go.
All right.
B2's is dropping flaming hot. Whoa. I'm going to need a minute. Come on, Doritos, dick. You can't rep the Flamin' Hot name. Watch your step, I'm the OG in the snack game. You claim triangle, I made you square. You had to borrow my heat just to make the world care. You got celebs and a remix song. But like a bag of Cheetos, it won't last long. So next time you try to take what I got, remember, I'm Flamin' Hot and you're Flamin' Not. I'm saying, you better watch the throne. King Chester, the hottest cheetah that you've ever known. I'm extra flaming hot, you can't tell me nothing. I'm bringing back Asteroids. Think I'm bluffing? This ain't over.
I like the
this
end.
This is like when
I like the end a lot.
This
but
is like
rest.
When I used to shoot corporate videos and you'd go to like eBay and they'd make like the CEO rap. That's what that reminds me of.
Yeah.
Just not good.
Why like is Chester Cheetah like an elderly man?
I don't know.
Yo, he's so tight. I like him. I was obsessed with him when I was a little kid.
Kevin, can you do me a favor? Can we just watch the commercial? I was going to try to find it for you, but I'm lazy. Can you Google the commercial where they're building a house and they're having a party and the guy's like, are you guys having a party here? He's like, no.
Doritos is dropping.
He's like, I can see you guys having the party. He's like,
no, Nick, that is not enough information. Like,
type in Cheetos commercial. Cheetos commercial.
Is it a Cheetos commercial?
Yeah. Okay, I didn't even know it was a Cheetos.
I didn't know what brand it was either.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not say Cheetos? Type in Cheetos commercial.
I got it. Don't worry.
Party.
I got it.
And I'm sure it'll work. This is one of the funny. I hate you,
Andy. Nick gave the script and the commercial left out the product.
I thought you guys would want to know what I'm
Kevin's
talking about.
Kevin's reaction was great.
That's that one right there, the top
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's a great
Wait,
one.
This one?
Yeah, that one.
That's like my birthday
this
party
is
and
the
you
funniest,
trying to get in.
This so, campaign was the funniest fucking thing that anyone's ever done.
So we're concerned that it's going to cause issues, so instead we watch another one.
It's fine.
No,
well, we've already fucked
again,
up one.
Don't make me go after
me
Chester Cheetah.
I love how small he is.
You guys having a party?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
I I can totally see you.
Yes, we know.
Yes, we know.
That's what I like the best.
That reminds me of your shit
so much.
Chester Cheeto is totally like fucking Picard.
Shithead. Yeah.
Yes, we know.
Yeah. Like it's.
Was he always an old British man?
I don't know.
Well, in this, because they did this campaign and they did a bunch with this style of character that I thought was just so the fucking funniest thing ever.
This was great.
Like the Old Spice time. Remember the Old Spice guy was the thing, and everyone was like, "Oh, really smart commercials are in."
Mm-hmm.
And now they've just gone back to stupid, colorful commercials.
It was a while back, a couple months on Game Over Greggy show that we were talking about the Doritos commercials, and we were gonna watch them in the post show.
Oh, we were. But
we didn't ever do that.
You can watch them now if you want.
So let's watch them in the post show of this episode.
Sure. Ah, Nick Spillings. While we're talking about Andy's obsessions with foods or whatever, I think it needs to be just brought to the attention of the group that today.
Oh God, here we go.
I was having a conversation with Andy at his desk. It was us in the front room, me and the kids. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm the fucking nanny out there with the Muppet Babies.
Yeah.
And I look over at Andy, and he makes a point, and I'm like, yeah, great. And I look away, and I come back, and I'm like, wait, are you just eating the salt? He was drinking like a little the flavored salts. He had the twang and was just sucking it.
How much salt?
You shouldn't eat that much salt.
The great thing about it is like when your saliva, my mouth's getting watery thinking about it. When the salt and your saliva coagulate, it creates like little hard rocks.
Those are inside your kidneys if you're eating straight salt like that, man.
And so, but it becomes a crunchy treat. Like instead of just being powder, it's now like a harder like boulder. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And you just kind of chew on it. It's good, man.
It's good for you.
It's good stuff.
No, lime. It's not. It's really lime flavored. Good
lime flavored vitamin C. It's a citrus.
No,
thing.
That's not. Citrus. I don't think that's how citrus that works lime. At all. No.
Fine.
You should know something's wrong when Kevin's in your corner defending you.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
if Kevin agrees with you on a food item, then you've lived your life wrong.
Yeah. When he gets up and like gives me the thumbs up.
Oh, he's doing it.
Get it, Kevin.
He did the thing where he licked it and put it on his hand and then licked it, right? I'm better with than bottoms up sucking this fucking
It's not coming out at the amount, it's getting water. I think about it. It's not coming out at the amount that you're thinking it does. Okay. It doesn't pour out like a liquid. It's very, very sparingly. It's very sparingly. Like it's just.
It does give me pause though, because every time I go to grab a handful of some sort of snack food, of which there is a tremendous abundance in this office, I'll eat the first chip and go, wait, how many people's hands have been in this thing?
Yeah, no, I can't do it.
And then I go, well, you've already eaten one chip. It's already done. You've already contaminated yourself with whatever parasite people in this office are carrying with them. The worst. I just can't stop fucking eating those Ruffles that are in there.
They're really good. The bacon, thank you.
God, who the fuck sent those to us?
The loaded bacon and cheese.
Whatever they are.
It's a great idea for a chip.
It's just...
When that person created that, he was like, I've struck gold right here. Because, you know, they keep these chips, they keep on trying to emulate popular dinner or appetizer flavors. Like, you'll see, like, one of my favorite Doritos is the Flavor Blastive. Mouse watering thinking about it. Flavor blasted ones. And they're the big Doritos, but they are buffalo wild, or no, like spicy buffalo with ranch flavor. It's a big blue box, but they don't look like your traditional Doritos, and they don't feel like them either. Different texture. Oh. A lot of different texture in these blasted ones. Flavor blast, I believe. But yeah, they're just going after for like what sort of appetizers are out there that we haven't capitalized on. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
they'll find them. They'll keep doing it. They keep reinventing
like
the wheel.
Like a cheesesteak, mozzarella cheesesteak. You know what I mean? Or something like that.
Oh, fuck. Did they make a mozzarella cheesesteak?
I mean, they should.
I would fuck that up.
They should.
They went too hard for a while. Was it Fritos that was like going to, not Fritos.
Pringles.
Pringles. Pringles. Shout out to their like pizza and all that shit.
Yeah, Doritos needs to fucking cool it down with all the flavors.
But I think it was Lay's that a couple years ago like went real nuts and was like, we're gonna do chicken and waffles and we're gonna do cheesecake and we're gonna do sriracha and we're gonna do.
They're called Jacked.
Oh, Doritos Jacked.
They're called Doritos Jacked. Ranch dipped hot wings. Dude, this is my favorite crunch in a Dorito. Because all the Doritos, like, they kind of feel the same.
I can't wait for KFA.
Dude, these have such a great crunch.
Are you also going to be eating them?
Oh, my, of course. I mean, I'll be there.
You know what? You're all welcome.
I was going to say, this is an exciting day because I just get to try these as well. Oh, just have the scraps off the table.
Let's go.
I no joke stopped by the corner store because I know that some of them are harder to find.
Takis?
Like, you can find Hot Cheetos and Hot Cheetos with lime wherever.
Right.
But, like, the extra Hot Cheetos are kind of hard to find sometimes. The Hot Funyuns. The Hot Ruffles. Are we going to have Ruffles?
Is it all just the Frito-Lay's brands, or are we?
No, I'm kind of branching out a little bit.
My question is, are we going to fuck around with pork rinds? Some of the like the hot, spicy pork.
They do make Flamin' Hot pork rinds, so absolutely. If it's the Flamin' Hot brand, you're absolutely going to see it, unless it's like something super rare you can't get in America.
I'm excited. I might fast for the next 48 hours just to get into this.
Shout out to DJ Canto, first off, for us meeting for the first time.
Yeah, it was awesome. He came out.
That was awesome. But also shout out to him for giving Gia the biggest bag of hot Cheetos I've ever seen.
Shout out to me to go get it.
And
shout out to everyone whose hands were in that bag.
Eating it?
I'm about to grab it.
No, I need to bring that home today, Kevin.
She brought home another one.
I have to. No, so we left it in Kevin's car. She held on to this damn bag for hours. We went to dinner at a different venue.
Bring up Paula's
Twitter.
And
then went to the comedy thing with her holding this the whole damn time.
She should have just.
But Paula has a great photo of her with it, and it's her with a glass of wine and this giant bag that's as big as your girlfriend's torso.
That's her.
I
need to bring her these Cheetos though.
I was joking with Gia yesterday. Because she wasn't drunk at the I'm not used to seeing Gia at a bar when she's not a little tipsy. Mm-hmm. And she was totally like, she's always with it. She's never like crazy, mm-hmm. but she was very, very sometimes. Much like on point yesterday. I was like,
throw this up,
there
Kev.
You go.
There it is.
See, like, this thing, when Gia writes a book, this needs to be the author's photo on that book jacket.
The party
Chardonnay
size.
And Cheetos.
No Chardonnay.
No, are you kidding me? Get out of here. You know better than that.
That is her, though.
What is it? Was she drinking there? A Riesling of some sort? What was that?
Where did the other bag of Cheetos go?
Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, my God. That's all the same shit.
They ate the other bag. I thought this one was for us.
We were killing the other bag pretty well. Because I didn't really eat a whole lot going into it. So the alcohol hit me a lot faster than I thought it would.
Sure.
And so I started munching down these Cheetos. It was great. What's up?
Taking a couple steps back here. Your birthday was this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed you did a stream this weekend. I noticed you were doing shots for the stream this weekend. And I'm like, this is a very non-Andy move.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Well, I mean, so I was like, I'll do shots at midnight, right? I'll do shots at midnight. But then it turned into, I was like, I will do a shot for every time zone. So like my birthday, East Coast, and then Central Time, and then Mountain Time.
Terrible idea.
And then it was like 1-ish in the morning, and some guy was like, hey, I'm in Hawaii or Alaska or some shit. Do
you
a
lied.
Shot. So I fucking did another one, and it was great. So I was like eating a lot of Cheez-Its with it. But the thing is like,
as you do.
The alcohol put me into a gaming zone that I had never seen before.
Oh, shit.
And I was just on fire, dude. Like, no. It was like, the chat was like, what is going on? How, like, when did Andy get, like, above average at gaming, dude?
Cuts out to the archive footage and he's so drunk he's just watching a trailer. He's got the TV remote.
He just started restreaming Dr. Disrespect's stream. This guy's like, I'm so good
dude,
at this.
It was,
where
did
I get a mustache from?
It was incredible, dude. It was incredible. So you and I started off by playing Fortnite. And then you hopped off to go cook dinner, so then it was me and Tucker. And I was like, let's just finish this last stupid challenge. You have to get top 15 in a match.
Yeah.
And then a guy in chat's like, hey, if you win this match, I'll donate $50. And then another guy goes, I'll donate $100 if you win. Another guy goes, I'll also donate $100. So suddenly there's like 15 people left, and it's me and Tucker, and like we have 2 kills each or something. And it's suddenly like the final, it's me and Tucker and then the other squad or whatever. Yeah. It's like, oh my God. Like, and it felt like a real gaming moment,
dude.
Did you
join?
We fucking got it.
Yeah!
It was like so clutch because like we had the wall, we had the zone at the last, so the zone is moving towards us. So they start running and they start building and boom, 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 knocked a guy. I was like, I'm going in. Shotty. Bam, bam, fucking other guys. Shoot it and fucking game winning shot, dude. It was like, it was exhilarating. They were like, this is what esports feels like when these people are like playing with money on the line. Like,
I love that.
It was so fucking intense, dude. It
That's
was
awesome.
So rad. And then we went into Apex after that and it was just like, win and win again and win again.
It's your birthday.
Seven Apex wins, dude. Crazy. Yeah.
That night, I was celebrating a birthday at my friend's house, and we were playing Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
we had a big group of guys over there, and we decided, oh, we should do this for shots. Bad idea.
Oh.
Bad idea because we're like, oh, we'll do the one-on-ones for shots, and that's fine. But then we're like, oh, it's more
wait,
fun
winner drinks or loser?
So we make it where loser drinks.
Okay.
Then we did four-player matches where whoever gets fourth place has to take a shot. Whoever gets first place gets to choose someone else to take a shot.
That's cool.
And God, it was really cool for about an hour. And then it was bad.
Yeah, I saw you on Sunday at the meet and greet 3. You already looked like you were hurting.
Yeah, Sunday was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day. But
well, you did this on Friday or Saturday?
It was on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Because you guys were like, we were in Slack and you all were like, hey, come out. We're all hanging out. And I was just like, dude, it's me, it's Dom, and it's fucking, like, we're hanging out. Mm-hmm. What's up?
What's it feel like when people, like, reach out to hang out with you? Is it fun?
That's cool. I mean, like, I have a lot of really close friends that I love hanging out with all the time, you know? That's cool.
Wow.
It's good stuff.
Wow. Yeah. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week. Four, sometimes four, best friends gather on this table, each bringing their lives to talk to you. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can get each and every episode early, as well as be part of the show, whether it be a producer, a question, or something like that. If you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. You can get the show with ads on Friday as one big video and one big MP3. Right now, we're going to roll into that post show. You can catch it on Patreon. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.